Mike, how are you? Thanks for having us on again this morning.
No, it's good to have you on. Important issues affecting a lot of families here in Donegal. And as we know, it can be hard for members of the Defence Forces to speak out, Mark. And we hope that's not being exploited.
Yes, as you said, it is difficult times, not alone just for our members who are indeed citizens in uniforms, but also right up, you know, across the country. We'd like to think so, that our voice has been heard and that people are listening to us. And that's what, as I said, I very much welcome the opportunity to speak with you this morning, because this is a very important exercise for us to get our message out there and to tell people our side of the story as such.
Yeah, and much of the 3 days, I'm sure, there's 42 motions down for debate, and there's a lot really that needs to be talked about, I'm sure. But, you know, conditions for those within the force, the retention, recruitment, you know, are those the big issues still at the moment?
Yes, unfortunately so. We've lost another 300 members of the Defence Forces this year. We've said it before that it's akin to a leaky bucket syndrome, but unfortunately the bucket is well and truly dry at this stage. You've seen the Commission on Defence, where the aspirations are to recruit upwards of 3,000 personnel into the Defence Forces. This is something that we feel we should deal with the retention crisis first, then try and build on when we have a stable platform, then build on recruiting people into it. And as you said, yeah, there's a number of issues across those 42 motions, such things as contracts, working time directive, payments, allowance, and even the rations provided to our members on duty.
They get less money spent on feeding them than we spend on prisoners.
Yes, currently so. You've attracted daily allowance in the Defence Forces of €4.20. But unfortunately, as I said at the outset, we've seen, you know, right across the country that inflation has taken a foothold. It's no different for our members in the Defence Forces, and I'm sure your listeners can understand fully. It is difficult to fill that shopping basket, and we're finding that extremely difficult at the moment.
And I mean, dependent on what part of the services we're talking about, you know, you want to hold on to your best. You don't want to be seen as a training service, for example, for the private sector. But you also want people within the Defence Forces talking about, you know, the word of mouth, the organic way of saying this is a great place to work. This is something that you should consider. But whilst you're having to spend much of your time pointing out the failings, you would look at a young person and say, well, why would they join the Defence Forces? Like, it has to be gotten right, or these problems are just going to continue on and on and on.
Most definitely so. Otherwise, we're just repeating the past mistakes. We're going back to the dark days of the 1970s when the Defence Forces were again the poor relation of the public service, and we're in the doldrums. We have a very unique lifestyle. Military service is something that I've enjoyed myself over 32 years. But unfortunately, it is not easy to attract people into the robust lifestyle that we have. And also, people want to be remunerated for the job they do. They want to be compensated for the hours they work and for the time they spend away from their family, which is only natural.
Is there any progress being made in that regard, Mark? Are the powers that be coming to the table to hear these concerns?
I'd like to think that we have a good relationship with the Department of Defence and indeed the Minister, and I'd like to think that's something we can build on. I think the recent budget has seen an allocation of an extra $67 million. We've seen small changes taking place across the Defence Forces. It's not coming fast enough. We're starting from a historically low place, but at least it's a start. And we've always said it. We're always willing to engage with all the stakeholders to make Ullagh na hÉireann a better place for all of us. And I'd like to think that with the Minister in attendance at the conference this week, that he will hear our concerns and take on board what we're saying and what we're trying to do. We all have a vested interest in this. We all have a stakeholder in the Defence Forces. And I think when the military community and the military family gets together, every time we discussed what is positive about the Defence Forces.
Yeah, and do you think maybe the language that's being used by the likes of Simon Coveney and other senior government ministers about our defence, you know, about our sort of role in European global matters, you know, talk of increase on spend. There's no point throwing money at it either, really. The army, the defence forces, all branches of it, really, are the personnel. It's not necessarily equipment or whatever. I mean, and if you want a proper defence forces, you have to look after the people that are the defence forces.
Most definitely so. Our most valuable asset is the personnel who serve. And we've said it many, many times. They both have to go hand in glove. The investment in the equipment, the modular equipment, has to go hand in hand with the investment in the personnel. I've said it before that the most technologically advanced equipment is made redundant without the skilled personnel to operate it. And unfortunately, at the moment, we seem to got it wrong. We seem to be investing in the equipment and not the people. But maybe that's something we could discuss with the minister when he arrives tomorrow as well.
What is the attitude like amongst members? You know, like, say, for instance, there's flooding, call in the army. There's a problem at Dublin Airport, call in the army. There's a big event taking place in Dublin, call in the army and have them, you know, half fed and lying on uncomfortable beds. You know, do members of the force, the members of the Defence Forces feel like they're, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but dog's bodies, or, you know what I mean, sure the army will cover that. You, that attitude towards them, does that, do you feel that?
I'd like to think that when we're called upon to do taskings by the government, we will do it, that we will serve the state, and we've done it proudly over the last 100 years. Unfortunately, at times it is seen that we're cheap labour. There's no other way of describing it. We're seen as the people who will go in there and do that job. In saying that, we've always stood up to the plate. We've done what's been tasked for us. But at the same time, we feel our members should be compensated for the job they do, that no more nor less than anyone else in the private or the public sector who do the same roles. That. But in saying that, we wear a uniform, conscious of that, and we will do the taskings assigned to us.
We could see this year, finally, we could see, you know, more people leaving the Defence Forces than are recruited. In other words, a shrinking of personnel, a net loss. How long might it take to reverse that type of a trend, do you think, if the will was there from government?
I think that genuinely the Commission on Defence gives us a good place to start. It will take many years. It's hard to reverse the trend that's there at present. We understand that. But the full implementation of the Commission on Defence, it's a very good place to start. And the sooner the better. As I said, we all have a stake in the Defence Forces. We need to start building that foundation and build upon that afterwards.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you again.
I appreciate it greatly. Take care. It's a busy couple of days, of course. That is the PD4 annual conference, which is taking place in Jackson's in Ballybuffet. There's 42 motions down for discussion. The key ones, of course,